For the message. It's always good to pray for the message. That way you don't waste your time here. And even if I'm bad at doing this. So let's pray. Lord, I ask that you open our hearts and our minds to hear the word that you have for each of us today. And open our ears so that we can hear a little bit better. Whatever that is that you want to say to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. You have the parable of the sower in here in the scripture as we start. How would you answer this question? I could have asked Les and Connie this, but I didn't. What does it require to be a good church member? Or what makes a good church member as opposed to a person who is not a good church member? Depending on your denomination, your church, and probably also your personal attitude. Questions like that probably would have had as many answers as we have people here today. And you could respond in any way. So we sometimes have lists of to-dos and don't-dos that we have to do or don't do, such as you go to church, you read your Bible every day, you try to be a good person. Then there are the don'ts, such as don't smoke, don't drink, don't chew, and don't go around with people that do. And the list can go on from there. Now, I personally think, and I can back this up with biblical principles, that regular church worship and being committed as a member of a congregation and reading the Bible every day are important to our Christian walk. But when we simply follow a list, being a Christian can turn into a very dreary and empty chore as far as I'm concerned. So today I want to talk to you about what makes a good church member. And it's a matter of discipleship. Jesus talks about the kind of people we're supposed to be. And when we walk according to his words and with his spirit filling our hearts, being a Christian, a church member, a disciple, is really not drudgery. Living life as a disciple of Jesus Christ is a life purpose. It's meaning. It brings fulfillment in people. So I want to ponder this question today. What kind of church member does Jesus want in his church? And what kind of church member does he want you to be in his church? I have Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 25 printed in your bulletin. We're going to kind of walk through this scripture today and talk about it. But I'd like for us first to begin by just reading verses 1 to 3. Here we go. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he taught them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow." Jesus taught them by the use of stories or images or pictures. It's important to understand that this is the first time that he actually used stories. Before now, his teachings were kind of straightforward kind of things, such as the Sermon on the Mount. It says, again, he began to teach here. But this time, his teaching is different. He used stories. And it says, and in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen." Say that word with me, will you? Listen. Say it one more time. Listen. That's what this message is all about. This is what the story is all about. That's what Jesus' teaching is all about. Listening. So say it with me one more time. Listen. Then Jesus gives a lesson on listening. So let's read verses 3 to 9 together, shall we? Here we go. "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it had not much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So Jesus finished the story, and he says, okay, those who can hear, pay attention. By the way, this phrase, "he who has ears to hear," occurs between 10 and 15 times, and Jesus is always the one who says it. Each time he says it, the depth of the message is basically on multiple levels of teaching. And it has tremendous eternal significance. So I say to you, those of you who can hear, pay attention. This is eternally significant. Let's read on, verses 10 to 13. And when he was alone, those who were about him with the 12 asked him concerning the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn again and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" And then Jesus explains the parable. Now, just follow along as I explain this picture on several levels. Jesus explains the parable. He says, verse 14, "The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word which is sown in them." Now understand that Jesus is speaking of the congregation who came on that day to hear him. Those people that are on the land where he teaches from the boat. He says these things concerning the congregation of the day. Jesus continues, again speaking of the congregation of the day. He says, "And these in like manner are the ones sown upon rocky ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with joy. And then they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away." Notice that this part of the congregation falls away because of trials and troubles because of the gospel. Jesus continues on, explaining the story, again speaking of the congregation of the day. "And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the delight in riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." Notice that it is the cares of the world, burdens of job, family, houses, stuff, or the desire to get money or position or other priorities choke out the word. He was speaking of those in the congregation that day. Jesus continues, again speaking in terms of his church, the congregation that day. "But those that were sown upon the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit." I want you to look at that again. Now listen, the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit. Let me add meaning to that sentence for you. Hearing isn't all that is needed here. They all hear it, except for the first group. There is a response to the word as well that is needed. Hearing the word and accepting the word, and then to bear fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Then Jesus concluded with this in verse 21. He says, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not on a stand?" In other words, Jesus is saying, hey, listen up. I am not using these stories to cloud the subject. I am using them to shed light on the subject. But Number one, some refuse to hear. Two, some hear, but they're not disciplined and they stumble. Number three, some hear, but they have all kinds of other priorities. And number four, some hear and take it to heart. Okay, let's read together verses 22 and 23. For there is nothing hid except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And somebody will say, hey, Jesus, you already said that. Well, it must be eternally significant if Jesus says it twice. And what this means is that there is a secret in the message. And the person who brings the message, there's also a secret in him. Okay, let's read verses 24 and 25. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given you. For to him who has will more be given, and from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now let me explain this to you. The way you see things, the way you judge these words is how you measure these words. Pay attention to how you hear. And don't let your own opinions cloud the message or distort the message or reject the message. Take heed. Pay attention, because it will be according to your own understanding as to what you get that is eternal in nature. You know, if you're full of yourself and your own opinions, you have no room for the Word of God. Jesus was saying that when you have responsive listening ears, you don't just listen to the teaching, you respond to the teaching. And then more begins to unfold and flower in your life as you receive it and you respond to it. Let me tell you what the greatest threat to the church is, to us as a church. The greatest threat to us as a church, or any church for that matter, is people like me and people like many of you who have been around a long time. Now, I'm speaking both spiritually and maybe chronologically, for that matter. You know, and the longer you have been around, the greater the tendency. It's this kind of thinking. We know everything well. So well, in fact, that we don't need to listen anymore. Because we have it all nailed down. We know what we need to know, and that's it. But the Lord Jesus says that those who keep listening are people that have, and to them, more shall be given. Well, what do they have? They have ears to hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear this day. And I tell you the truth, all of us who have known Jesus for any length of time had better say this prayer, Jesus, give me ears to hear. Because I want to continue to hear the new things that you have to say to me. And Lord, not just a hearer, but a responder as well. A person with a willing heart. Friends, the real essence of hearing is actually in the response. Receiving and then responding, and that will require something. It will require change. And that's when the rubber really hits the road in all of our lives. Everybody wants forgiveness, but we don't want to change. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to buy the ticket. Everybody wants forgiveness, but nobody wants conversion, which means change. Now, there is another kind of person involved in this event and parable. And that is the person who misunderstands. There were a lot of people there that day. There were a lot of people who misunderstood Jesus and misunderstand him even today. They think in terms of participating in a Jesus program, just as that crowd that day was participating in a Jesus program. They came because of the popularity of Jesus. They listened in a selective manner. That is, they heard what they wanted to hear. Now, they didn't have all the media stuff and everything that kind of entertains us. So this was entertainment. Let me define popularity and selectivity to you. Popularity says you are involved because it is the thing to do. It's a moving operation, and if you notice, there's a crowd there to hear Jesus. Hey, man, this is it. This is spiritual central. This is the first church of what's happening now. This is where it's really happening. And people flock to a moving operation. That's popularity. The second word is selectivity. You choose what you want. You hear, but you don't hear because you don't want to be changed. I must confess to you that people that have been around a long time and that have chosen to have their own selective points of hearing and selective points of reservation have chosen to stop hearing. And they don't want to grow anymore. They don't want to move. And they have arrived. And I have very little patience for that. And the reason I don't have much patience for people like that is that I don't think Jesus had much patience for those kinds of people either. Because he stepped off the boat and he walked to another place and said, "Anybody who is interested, we're moving on now. But the rest of you can have your show." And the thought arises in some of us, well, this sure doesn't seem like a good way to build a church. And that's true. It's true if you are going to build the kind of church that most people want, which is on the basis of pleasing people and crowd appeal, or on the basis of running some kind of church that will entertain people and get them all hyped up and do the all kinds of nifty little things that mesmerize and dazzle. If you want to see Jesus build our church, and by the way, the church is you, then he has a membership program. And the fundamental requirement is this: receive and respond. Be changed and be growing. Never arrive. The kingdom of God comes to all of us. Really, it does. And it has been offered to everyone in this church. But it is always conditional in terms of this life about hearing and responding. But when it comes down to your life or mine in terms of growth and development and nurturing as God's disciples, in terms of growing as those kind of disciples, Jesus never ever forces us. We always have free will. We always make the choice. We choose how much we're going to receive and live. We get to choose how much we study, how much Christian action we do, how much our lives is worshipful. We get to choose. Always we get to choose whether we gather on Sunday mornings or not. We all get to choose whether we will apply ourselves in terms of study or maybe Sunday school or coming here and bearing witness to one another on Sunday morning, as Jesus said, and I get to measure off exactly how far we want to go with it. And based upon how we judge in terms of what we want is the judgment that we get. The measure you give is the measure you get. You who have ears to hear, listen up. Now, I'm sure the question arises, well, Jack, what if you draw the line and you don't keep growing? And some people do. Well, let me ask you a question. What if you had a child whose growth is stunted or retarded in some way because of any number of reasons? say that child never really grew past 8 years old, even though in chronological years they are much older. Do you get rid of him? No. Do you kill him? No. You love him. He is your child. But forever and forever, no matter how much love is given to that child, there is always a certain basic point of pain. A point of pain, and it cries out, oh, that he would have grown. Oh, that he would have become all that he was capable of being. But he wasn't. You know, God has kids like that too. But there's not one thing hindering most of us from becoming everything that the Lord wants us to be except our own free will. We choose not to receive. We choose not to receive the seed and respond to it. We are hard sometimes with our own pride. I mean, we also can be very shallow in our lives, and the moment we run into trouble because of the gospel, our spiritual life begins to wither and die, or we are so weighed down or have other priorities. We chase after those things that our spiritual life just kind of gets choked out. You have ears to hear, may you hear. Let me end with a story. For many years, a minister spoke every Sunday, gave the sermons that he felt were the gospel as God had given it to him. He talked about the kingdom of God being near. He talked about the presence and the power of God being present right now, and that nobody needed to be ruled by the things that would dominate them, that freedom from sin and sickness and fear and bondage was possible in Jesus. For years, he talked about these things. One day a person came and asked him a question. Why do you do it? It seems to me at times no one listens, or if they do listen, nothing seems to happen. They don't change, or at least not much for very long. Don't you get discouraged? How can you keep it up? And the minister replied, well, I'm like a sower. I sow seed every Sunday. If anything comes up, I cultivate it. And then he said, you know, every Sunday I speak, and I know that there are those who are like rocky ground. They are hard with their own pride. Mainly it's their own pride. And the seed is picked away before they even get out of church. I guess they come because they think it will help the church to have a person like them present. And it's the thing to do. The minister continued, and he said, then there are others hear it and think it's great, but they barely get it home, and if anything difficult comes along, they blame God and quit. Others hear it, but because of society and prestige and position and money and their jobs and the lake and golf and basketball and football games and hunting and fishing and other things, the seed of God gets lost in the shuffle. They're unfruitful. Then there are a few who hear it. And it means something to them. And they go to work bringing the kingdom to other people. And the minister looked at the person and said, I cultivate them. For their work is hard. And there aren't many of them. And the work is plentiful. And then he said to this person, he said, blessed are you if you understand these things and respond. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you cause there to be in all of our ears and our hearts that willingness to receive and respond to the word of God that falls on us like seed. May the ones among us who have ears to hear, hear this day in the name of Jesus. Amen.